We are, for Lent, working our way through James. And we have come to chapter 3. And it's full on, isn't it? Chapter 3, full on. Some big words. James does not hold back. So here we go. Are you ready? Sometimes something so seemingly small can make such a big difference. Many of you know, will know that I love coffee. I'm a coffee drinker, and I used to have, well, I still have it, but it's a bit broken at the moment. I had a fancy coffee, kind of gadget coffee machine, and this is its handle. I brought it in to show you this morning. And one day, I went down, as is my morning tradition, to make myself a coffee. And what would normally happen, if you've ever used one of or seen one of these machines, the coffee kind of goes in here and you tamp it down with a little weight. You've probably seen the baristas do it much better than I can, but in the fancy coffee shops. And it kind of locks into your coffee machine and then you switch it on. And what happens is there's a beautiful, it is a beautiful like popping noise as the pressure of the water kind of makes its way through the coffee, and then you hear this. I'm going to do that again. It's like a little noise, and then beautiful kind of dark brown frothy coffee comes down either side. That is what usually happens, but this morning something very different happens. I did all of that just as I've described. I locked it in. I pressed my button. I expected to hear the pop. I expected to see the beautiful brown frothy liquid go down. And instead, I heard a grinding noise from the pit of hell. And then this normally lovely dark brown liquid was in fact sprayed all over me, all over our kitchen, absolutely everywhere. And in the 2 seconds it took me to work out what on earth was going on, devastation occurred. Honestly, it happened in Gloucester. I think there's probably still coffee stains in that vicarage in Gloucester. I was like, what on earth happened? What on earth went wrong? It works every time. It's a beautiful thing. And as I set to cleaning up our devastated kitchen, I went over to the draining board to pick up the cloth, and there I saw it. And I'm going to get it out of my pocket here. This. I don't know if you can see that. I'm going to come a bit closer. Can you see that? It's a little plastic bit on the camera there. Maybe we're on this camera. So, are we on this camera? Yeah, there you go. And that goes in under here. I'm going to show you. Just goes in here and it locks in just there. And that tiny piece made all the difference between my beautiful coffee experience and devastation. James chapter 3, verse 5. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Today we are talking about the tongue. And here, this is a famous passage in James. 2 weeks ago, Fiona spoke about James and his commitment and his encouragement to faith in action. This idea that faith is made complete by what we do. True faith is lived out, it's breathed. Our actions are a natural overflow of our relationship with God. Last week, in our all-age service, we reflected on Jesus' summary of all the law and the prophets in the two greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind, with all your soul. And this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Those verses are in Matthew chapter 22. And so we love God, and in the same breath, that's kind of what Jesus is saying, in the same breath, We love other people. How we see and connect with God should affect how we live. Jesus' invitation is to a full life, a connected life, a holistic life, where beliefs and actions, where what we think and what we believe are joined up with what we do. And now, in chapter 3, James addresses one of the biggest challenges, and he does it with some really vivid and challenging images. And his challenge is very simply this: our words matter. And more than that, our words are powerful. Now he begins by addressing those who teach. And so I think it's worth saying that I feel this message heavily today. Sometimes teachers say that they speak first to their own hearts and then to others. And today, I especially feel the weight of this challenge in James. I really do. You need to hear that. I've known times where my words have wounded, they've hurt or demeaned others. I'm really aware of my lazy, uninformed, insecure, or careless speech and how it can sometimes cause damage to other people. I've often prayed that prayer that maybe others of you have prayed. Maybe it's done differently with you, but with me, this prayer works something like this: "Please, God, make that didn't happen." Have you ever prayed that kind of prayer? "I can't believe that I just said that." And James speaks directly to those who teach, to those whose words are meant to line up with loving actions, whose words are meant to set people's hearts ablaze with hope and possibility, not leave them feeling burned. This is who James speaks to. And so, yes, I feel today's reading today acutely. But this invitation isn't just for me and those who teach in obvious ways, because we all, every single one of us, has a sphere of influence. Each and every one of us will have others who look to us and listen to our words. You may not teach in an official capacity in a church or in a school or in a university. You may do. But you might be or have been a manager, a boss. You might be a trustee. You might be a parent or a grandparent, an auntie, an uncle, a godparent. You might be a trusted friend. We all have or will have at some point in our lives those who look to us, those who listen to what we say. More now than ever, we can each and every one of us have a platform. All you need to do is sign up to Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or TikTok or Snapchat, and you can have a platform. You can put your words out there for literally the whole world to see. And now James takes the power our words have incredibly seriously. But he also understands the weight of this challenge that I feel and affects each and every one of us. Verse 2, "We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check." If you are anything like me, we all need to be aware of our brokenness. Especially, it seems, in the area of speech. But also, maybe the ways that we've been hurt or wounded by the speech of others. Now, I need a bit of help, a bit of congregation participation in joining at home if you're watching. Now, I'm sure we have all heard as we've grown up playground proverbs, you know, those sayings that make their way around the playgrounds of our childhood. I think there is probably one of the most famous playground proverb Do you know it? Let's see. Can you finish this one off for me? Nice loud voice as well, so they can hear at home. Sticks and stones can break my bones. Yay, well done. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. A question, and again, nice and loud, please. Is it true? Thank you. Right answer. No, it is absolutely not true, is it? It's probably the worst playground proverb that has ever existed. Of course, we use it to defend ourselves. Of course, we use it to protect our own hearts in that moment. Of course, we do. But maybe, like me, you have memories of school. I really hope you can remember the encouraging words people spoke over you, maybe teachers or friends. I really hope you can. But I think we can all probably remember the nicknames that we had. At various stages, I'm going to enlighten you, at various stages of my school life career. So if you grew up in the 80s, you might be able to resonate with some of these. I was called Professor because I wore glasses. I was called Willow after Warwick Davis's character. Warwick Davis is a little person who played the lead in the film. Particularly painful for me right now because Disney Plus have just rebooted it as a fabulous series, I'm sure. I mean, Warwick Davis absolutely nails it, which is great. But that was a nickname for me at school, Willow. I was impressed by this one nickname that I had. And again, if you're 70s, 80s, you'll know this one. Because this nickname combined my very blonde hair, my glasses wearing, and my small stature. Apologies if you're not from the UK, but I was called the Milky Bar Kid. That was probably the famous one. Anyone remember the Milky Bar Kid? Yes, yep, that was what I was called. In fact, I think I even had someone, a friend or a relative, come up to me, and genuinely they said this, you should really apply for that role because you could do it. And I was like, do you have any idea how ridiculous that would be? Like, because so many people call that me that at school. But it's impressive because it combined all of those really obvious things about me. Those words I can remember. What words have been spoken over you? Have a little think, maybe in the past or even now. Or maybe what words do you speak over yourself? Take a moment to, as you think about that, I've got a poem from somebody called Ruby Redford. And we're going to listen to this poem. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can also hurt me. Stones and sticks break only skin, while words are ghosts that haunt me. Slant and curved the word sword falls, it pierces and sticks inside me. Bats and bricks may ache through bones, but words can mortify me. Pain from words has left its scar on mind and heart that's tender. Cuts and bruises have not healed, it's words that I remember. It's words that I remember. James encourages us that this little muscle inside our mouth has the power of life and death, encouragement and despair, healing and hurting. Words have power, and what comes out of our mouths really does matter. What do we speak of? How do we speak of others to their face, to when they're not around or in the room? What do we speak of? What comes out of our mouths? Maybe our speech, our language, our tone, our conversations, just like the small rudder of a boat, determine the course of our lives. Okay, I know what you're thinking. It's been a pretty rough ride so far on a Sunday morning on a chilly March morning. You're thinking, Steve, where is the good news? Come on. Well, I think it comes in verses 9 and 10. and the challenge that James lays down as he lays out the possibility of what our words can do. He says this: with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Why is this such an affront to James that we can praise God in one breath and curse somebody else in another? As we've seen, as we've discovered, words are powerful. James knows this, and we know this. We all deep down know that words are powerful. But what is it about our words that has such power? Well, the scriptures give us some incredible insight. We worship a God who created the universe by speaking. God created the universe and our world with words. God said, let there be light, and there was. God said, let there be sky and land, and there was. God said, let there be trees and plants, animals and sea creatures, and there was. And such variety was born out of God's words that we are still discovering, even since the beginning of creation, we are still discovering new species, undiscovered beauty and color and variety. Such are the power and beauty of God's words that we still have not plumbed the depths of those powerful words. When God speaks, life happens. When God speaks, beauty is born. When God speaks, possibility and opportunity are unleashed in unfathomable ways. Chaos turns to order, darkness to life, light, death to life, and all from God speaking. And humans, the Bible encourages us and tells us the truth about humanity is that we are made in the image and likeness of God. James reminds us of that today. We are given the world to be co-stewards and co-creators with God. Adam is told at the beginning of Genesis to name all of the creatures, to literally speak words of life and identity over every living creature. Human beings are given the responsibility to represent, to represent God's likeness in the world, to speak words of life over creation. That's the job that we have been given as human beings. That's the job that this little muscle in our tongue is given. What might it look like? Oh, I've skipped on. To live with our original identity and purpose is to be a people who create life with our words, to build up and not tear down, to encourage and to believe in people, not discourage and demean them. What might it look like this week to invite God once again into our words, to live out of that God-given identity and use our words to create life? If Gary Lineker can, like, decimate the BBC's coverage with his words, surely we can inject some life and encouragement. That's how powerful words are, aren't they? The BBC has, like, been turned upside down by some words from and some encouragement from a footballer and a pundit. Just take a moment. Close your eyes maybe for a minute, if that's helpful to you. We each have a sphere of influence. Every single one of us has a sphere of influence. We each will get the opportunity to speak this week. Who might you encourage? Who might you speak well of? Who might you see the best in this week? And for those of you who, like me, are aware of the capacity of our speech to burn others, and for those of you that have had words spoken over them that have caused the truth of our original identity to be demeaned, maybe we need some good and some healing news. And it's this: God spoke a unique and special word over every single human being right at the beginning of creation, and it has echoed out these words over every single person. How many people, how many billion now live on the planet? Six, is it six? I don't know, 6 billion, maybe it's more, I don't know. What is this that God has spoken over? God spoke a unique and special word over humanity. He created human beings in his image and his likeness, and the first words that he spoke over them was, "You are very good. You are very good." So whether you have spoken destructive words over others or you've had them spoken over you, God says that is not your original identity. God says you are beloved. You are created in God's likeness because you are very good. Your original identity is not your temper. It's not your impatience. It's not your prejudice. It's not your insecurity. Your original identity is your goodness. It's co-creating a possibility to bring life and color and beauty to this world with your life and with your words. That is your original identity. That is mine. That is every single human being that has ever lived and will live. That's their original identity. Today, hear the words of original goodness spoken over you by God, who is able to speak a new word over us today, which frees us once again to bring life-giving words to others. Time and time again, God speaks new words over people. Abram becomes Abraham, which means the father of many nations. He was the father of one family. God speaks a word over him and he becomes the father of many nations. A new word of hope and possibility is spoken over him. So today, James reminds us that our words are powerful. We can use them to set people's hearts ablaze with love and possibility. Or we can use them to take people down and leave them feeling burned. Maybe you come today with words spoken over you by yourself or by others that have caused wounds. Today, we look to Jesus, who speaks words of original goodness over us, that we are good, that we are beloved. Let's live and act and speak from our original created goodness, and not from the place of hurt that we can so often speak from.